Good morning. Have you ever done anything that would give you an adrenaline rush? Have you ever pushed yourself to where your heart is beating faster? You got the goosebumps, and maybe you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, and you're trying something you thought you would never do. Maybe bungee jumping. Any of you done that? Bungee jumping? No? Skydiving, okay. Any of you like taking a lap in a NASCAR car, like the Richard Petty experience or anything like that? Dennis? No? No. And the other picture up here is a roller coaster. Now, I know roller coasters of itself can be an adrenaline rush, but this one is hanging on the side of the stratosphere in Vegas. So can you imagine not only being on a roller coaster, you're attached to the side of a building on a roller coaster, probably a couple hundred feet up in the air. But adrenaline rushes, you know, they make us feel alive, especially if they go well. But it pushes us to the limits, and it makes us feel good when they're done. We're like, man, I went out of my comfort zone, and I lived to tell about it. I feel pretty good about myself. So taking risk in our lives and pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone, that can make us feel alive and make us feel like we're experiencing life to the fullest. Muhammad Ali, he has this quote, "He who is not courageous enough to take risk will accomplish nothing in life." We don't remember people throughout history for sitting in their lazy boy. We remember people who took risk, either monetarily with some of these big corporations that we now have, physically with our heroes in battle, but people out there willing to take risk to start a company, to help with our independence, whatever. They're taking risk and getting out of their comfort zone. Now, Helen Keller, she was born mute, blind, and deaf. So it could have been very easy for her to just sit in a chair and maybe felt bad about her or feel bad about herself all her life. But from this quote, I'm guessing she was a person of adventure. She said, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." So she even knew with her situation that we need to push ourselves in our lives. We need to go out of our comfort zone. So today, the title of this sermon is Taking Risk in Our Christian Walk. And from today's scripture, you can see that we're going to use Peter walking on water as our background scripture. So by the end of this sermon, I want us to ask ourselves, are we willing to get out of the boat? God loves risk takers. He, throughout the Bible's history, God has called on people to take risk with their faith in hopes that they develop a trust in Him. You think of Noah building the ark. If you remember anything about the people of Noah's time, there was a reason he was building an ark. God was going to destroy those people because they were nasty. Can you imagine the abuse Noah took building that ark for the 100 years it took him to do that? Then you have Moses taking on the most powerful man in the world, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and leading God's people out of captivity. Think about David taking on Goliath, 7 foot, 8 foot tall guy, with 3 rocks and a slingshot, having the confidence to step out on that battlefield and take on Goliath. Then you have Mary and Joseph. Boy, what a risk they took at the beginning of Jesus' life. Mary being an unwed, pregnant woman. Joseph not knowing what to do with the situation, but he risked his reputation and welcomed Mary into his home. And then even after Jesus was born, the risk they had to take, fleeing to Egypt to escape Herod's sword. You think of the disciples and missionaries throughout history who have risked their physical well-being to spread the word of God throughout the world. You think of people in these very chairs here who have started a Bible study with someone not knowing what was going to happen, who invited people to church not knowing what reception they would get, who are living a faith that maybe their family doesn't accept. There's even stories I've heard from members of the church. They used to go door to door in this church, knocking on doors, not knowing what would happen. Would they be welcomed in? Would they get the door slammed in their face? Would they get into arguments? But they did it anyway. Ray Pritchett, he's a preacher. He said, if you are afraid to take a step, unless you know how things are going to work out, faith will always be a mystery to you. So if we have to know how everything is going to work out, we have no need for faith. Faith is doing things and not knowing how they're going to work out. You know, we have a great faith. We're gathered here today, in all honesty, 40, 50 of us who are here, we don't know how things are going to work out at the end. We have a faith. We don't know how things are going to work out. We got to ask ourselves, who do we put our trust in? Do we put our trust in our friends, family? Now, they're good to put our trust in. Definitely, we hope that we can trust them. But there's going to be times when they let us down. Do we put our trust in our job, saying, oh, I got this great job, life is great. Job's very important. Jobs change, and eventually they kick you out and say you got to retire. Then what are you going to do? Money, great thing to have, makes our lives a lot easier if you have it on earth. But as the Beatles said, money can't buy you love. Money can't buy you happiness. We have to ask ourselves as Christians, do we put more trust in these things than we do our Heavenly Father? Every year we go to Raystown, and I don't do this every year, but there are some cliffs at Raystown that people like to jump off, and these cliffs are probably 30 to 40 feet high, and you land in a nice lake and stuff, but I put a life vest on to do this, and I strap that life vest on as tight as I can every time, because I know, and I've trusted that life vest, that it's going to pop me back up to the surface, that I'm not going to go, you know, 30 feet under the water. That life vest is going to pop me up. So I'm willing to take that risk because I am not a fan of heights. And I'm willing to climb up there and take that risk because I have that life vest on, trusting that that vest is going to pop me up to the surface. I wonder if in my Christian life I have that same trust in my Heavenly Father. So starting into our story, just a little background. Jesus had just learned right before this story that John the Baptist was beheaded. So he had just lost his cousin, probably feeling really down about that, lost a loved one. And he also sort of knew that John was killed because of him. Because John was talking about Jesus, and that brought his death. And, you know, so Jesus and his disciples were going into a town. I don't know if they really knew what, if they meant to preach there or anything, but the people came out to him, and Jesus said, and just started to preach, because he knew the people needed him to preach. And this is where he fed the 5,000 people. This happened right after the 5,000. So he was tired, he was feeling down because of John's death, and after he was done preaching and feeding the people, he dismissed the crowd, and this is what happened. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, if you have ever been on a lake and the wind kicks up, it is not a pleasant situation, especially if you're in a boat probably like they were in. You start to get some white caps, your boat starts rocking up and down, and especially if there's a storm coming, and you get a little bit scared out there. I'm guessing they didn't have life vests back in those days. So it's a little bit of a scary situation for these disciples. And think about the time when they went out in that lake. Probably 7, 8 o'clock at night. Just sort of keep that in mind. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. So we have to ask ourselves, why did the disciples not recognize Jesus? Jesus was walking across the water, and it appeared as a ghost. First off, I don't blame the disciples. Never saw that happen before, someone walking out on the water. Physics tells us it shouldn't happen, but it was happening. So they were probably like, what is this coming towards us? Also, think about it. They had been out there probably since 7 or 8 at night, and Jesus was doing this right before dawn. So they had probably been battling these waves and hoping to not capsize for the past 8 hours. That's a long battle out on the seas. So they were tired, they were exhausted, and they were scared. So we have to ask ourselves, in our time of distress, are we able to see God? They were not able to recognize Jesus that night. Are we able to recognize the people God sends into our lives during our time of distress? Are we able to hear God when he's talking to us in our time of distress? And do we believe God is moving towards us to help us? Jesus was moving towards them that night because he knew that they were in trouble on that lake. Do we believe in our time of trouble that God is standing right next to us, ready to help us out? Then Peter, he takes a risk. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Now, what do we think about Peter at this point? One thing I want us to think about, and this probably has really nothing to do with the scripture too much, Peter was the only true human in history. And I'm not going to count Jesus as pure human because he had the God side to him. Peter was the only pure human in history to ever walk on water. I don't know how far he walked, but they said in that scripture he began to walk on the water. How cool would that have been to be Peter and walk on water? Can you think about it? There's a lot of times, there was a song back in the 80s by Eddie Money that said, "Would you believe, if I could walk on water, would you believe in me?" There have been TV commercials. I can remember one with Tiger Woods where they made it look like he walked on water in this one commercial. So that's really made an impact on people throughout history that Peter and Jesus were walking on water that night. So what do you think about Peter at this point? Do you think he was showing off? Because, he was sort of the leader. He was a very boisterous guy of the apostles. Do you think he was showing off? If Jesus can do it, I can do it. Do we think he's crazy? He left the boat. Boat was probably not much safer, but at least he was in a boat. Do we admire his courage? Peter stepped out of that boat, not knowing what was going to happen. But as soon as Jesus said, "Come to me," Peter came out of that boat And he took that first step towards trusting Jesus. Have we taken that first step in our lives towards trusting Jesus? Have we turned situations over to God, not knowing what was going to happen, but just trusting that he would take care of us? One of the best, I can't say best, but one of the things that amazes me is that when people are facing death, and they know it, they've been told, you know, they're facing cancer and, or whatever disease, and they know they're coming to the end. Or they're just, you know, they're up there in years and are just coming to the end. At first, they're very scared about what's going to happen to them. They don't know what's going to happen to them physically. How's this cancer going to affect me physically? How am I going to feel? They don't know what's going to happen to their families. They're sad because they're going to miss their life here on earth. But somewhere along the line, so many of them start to have some peace. And they start to accept what's going to happen to them. My dad, 2-year battle with cancer, he said once, "I don't want to die, but I'm all right with it." And these are people that are facing the greatest unknown to man. What happens to you after death? We all have our beliefs, but no one's come back and told us. And these are the people who have taken that step of trust in our Lord, facing the greatest unknown ever. Peter's fears sink and went, but when he saw the wind and he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. What do we now think about Peter at this point? Here he is, he went out on that boat with all the enthusiasm. "I'm going to walk on water." Then he began to sink. Do we think, "Wow, Peter, you're really weak in your faith, man. You saw Jesus right in front of you and you started to sink. What's up with you?" Or do we think he was the only one to get off the boat that night? Wasn't Peter and Andrew walking towards Jesus? Or Peter and Judas? It was Peter. The only one. We got to ask ourselves, would that story have been different with us in the boat? Would it be Peter and Dave walking out? Peter and Ann? I don't know. I'd love to say yeah. I would love to say yeah. I would have been right beside, but I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. What sunk Peter? Jesus said, "You have little faith." Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" Peter sank because he noticed what was going on around him. He noticed the wind and the waves, and he probably started thinking to himself, "Man, I'm in trouble out here. I am in trouble." He was fine. I could just imagine Peter was fine as long as he was looking right at Jesus. And then he got distracted and he started to sink. Can we relate to Peter's situation? You know, sometimes we come out of church, we're all fired up. "I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to ask people to go to church. I'm going to start a Bible group. I'm going to do all that." Great ideas. And then the world starts to happen around us. And turbulent situations come in, and we start to worry. And we might worry so much that our focus is taken off of Christ. Have we ever had those situations and we feel like we're beginning to sink? We were all fired up one on Sunday, and then by Wednesday, we're like, "I'm overwhelmed. Where's my God? Can you help me out at this point? I'm convinced that Jesus loved Peter's attempt. Even though it was, you could say it was a failure, he loved Peter's attempt. He loved the fact that Peter got out of that boat. Probably wishes, just like with all of us, that our faith was stronger. But he loved that Peter got out of that boat that night. He was probably more disappointed in the other 11 saying, "What's up, guys? I've been with you for a year, whatever, however long it was. Don't you trust in me yet? Don't you know who I am yet?" Peter didn't know what was going to happen that night, but he knew he had to take the risk. He didn't know, but he knew he had to take the risk. So as we close this sermon, we got to ask ourselves, are we ever going to get off of the boat? When our time on earth is done, is Jesus going to see us as someone who got off the boat or someone who stayed safely on the boat? Muhammad Ali and Helen Keller stressed that we really do not live life without taking a risk. And us as Christians, wouldn't it be great to experience the best adrenaline rush we could have and help do and to go out of our comfort zone and do something to help further God's kingdom? Taking that risk would be the greatest thrill ever if we bring someone to Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you want to take care of us, that you want us to trust in you, and that you're going to be with us no matter what. Please help us, Lord, to turn our lives over to you and trust in you and have a stronger faith, knowing that you'll always be with us. Help us, Lord, to do things in our lives that stretch our faith, that help us to reach out to others and help others to find their way to you. Please be with us, Lord, and help us to get off the boat and to walk towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church extends an invitation. If there is anyone in our congregation that needs the prayers of the church, it might be a risk to come forward, but we would love to pray for you and help you out. If there's anyone in our congregation that needs to be baptized to join God's family, another risky move, but God, it'll pay off in the end. Please come forward as we sing.